Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All Things Covered listeners, All Things Covered viewers. Outstanding show for you guys today. Once again, we're showing our bias, but I do not care. I love getting members of the secondary on our show. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. You guys know I played in the secondary. Pat is currently still playing. And this individual is still playing as well. Some high-level football. Representing the SEC, 2012 second-round pick out of Vandy in Tennessee by the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay decided to cut ties. Not a smart decision. Made them pay. Two-time Pro Bowler. Two-time second-team All-Pro. One of the newest members of the Atlanta Falcons, no other than Casey Hayward, joining us here, All Things Covered. Brian McFadden, Patrick Peterson, show is what they call them. Showtime, how you feeling?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm blessed, man. Thank y'all for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime we get guys in the secondary, especially playing the cornerback position, man, we love to get them on, talk football, talk life in general. And, man, you're one of the outstanding individuals under the radar corners. Has been doing it at a high level for such a long time. We had the guys from the Man to Man Pod on a few weeks ago, and Darius Butler definitely gave you a lot of praise, man. Talked about the job you've done throughout your professional career, and clearly over the last few years been playing some high level football. So you've been doing a great job. But before you became a prolific light corner in the National Football League, let's go back in time, right? You had some unbelievable stats. For people who might not know this about you, you weren't just a corner your entire life. You once used to have the football in your hand. You had limited offers for whatever reasons, but when you look at your reputation as a quarterback, I mean, your senior year, you had 1,300 yards passing. You had 18 passing touchdowns. You had 1,284 yards rushing and 18 rushing touchdowns. What led to those numbers? Like, did you have aspirations of trying to play quarterback the next level, or was just more so just the athleticism that took off for you to be so outstanding when it came to playing quarterback?
I think it was more of the growing up. Since I was like young, I had the ball in my hand, running back. Then when I kind of got to middle school, I kind of switched over to quarterback. And then that was more like, you know, you get into high school, put the ball in your best player hands type thing. I know a lot of DBs that play quarterback in high school. Mm-hmm. Go from Champ Bailey. Go back. I think Brandon Boykins. There's a lot of people. I'm just naming some Georgia people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. A lot of us played, you know, quarterback. And I think it translated over when we got to the next level because we kind of understood patterns and being able to read concepts and things like that because that was the things we did.
Yeah. And what led to your decision to attend Vanderbilt?
It was one of my better offers. And then at the end of the day, I was saying, you know, if I didn't make the league, I'm going to have a great education. But my whole goal was to make it to the league, but also, you know, get a good degree.
Okay. And how would you evaluate your time at Vandy? Started off a little slow, you know, but being there from the beginning of a rebuild under James Franklin, how would you evaluate your time there at Vandy?
Man, I loved it. I love Vanderbilt, Nashville. Our first couple of years, we weren't as good, but I played well. So I played well. I played well when I was there. All the years, even the years we were kind of down. I was still our SECs and things like that. I was leading the conference in interceptions, pass breakups. My last 2 years, I did that back to back. So mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, show my talent, you know, no matter what. You playing in the best conference in the, you know, I know you're going to say, you know, I know you got your little Florida State back there, but the best conference in the, you know, in the world is SEC. You know, so
hey, it's not too much I can say to go against that. So right now, no question.
All right, so I get, you know, back in the day, y'all had y'all run too. You know what I mean? Like, But right now it's the SEC, and when I was in school, it was the SEC. So I got to play against the big guys every week. So I got to match up against, you know, the Alshon Jefferson, AJ Greens, you know, all those guys. I got to match those guys. Like when I got to the NFL, that wasn't my first time like matching with ones. I had to do that in college.
Yeah. And talking about some of the wide receivers, yeah, and during that time, like you said, it was a lot of heavy hitters, and it's still heavy hitters at the wide receiver position currently in the SEC. But who was probably the most difficult wide receiver you faced off against while in college?
People ain't even going to know this guy, but he gave me a hard time. I was young, too, though. Yeah. I think his dude name, he went to Ole Miss, dude name Shea Hodge. Mm-hmm. He was really good when I was in school. I think he got drafted and stuff, but... You know, all the big names were pretty good too, but you know, I kind of held my own against all those guys. I kind of shut those guys down.
No question, because you look at your draft status where you got drafted at, and currently what you've been doing. Even though you, like you said, you're a part of Vanderbilt's football team, as a team weren't super consistent, but you did your just do, and led to outstanding opportunities. And one of the bigger opportunities that you had, just like myself, I played in the Senior Bowl. Right. You had opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl in 2012. And on this podcast, because of Pat P's ties to the Minnesota Vikings, we focus a lot on Vikings material, Vikings content. And then that Senior Bowl, you remember the quarterback you picked off?
I do not remember, but I know I had to pick that game. I don't remember.
You had to pick. You don't remember. I'm going to give you a hint. This quarterback just recently signed a new deal.
If it ain't Kirk Cousins, then I don't know.
It's Kirk Cousins.
Oh, okay.
It's Kirk Cousins.
Oh, he was on the other side.
Yes. Michigan State, Kirk Cousins. You picked off Kirk Cousins to cap off an outstanding week of great work. But when you look at that process, right, the entire draft, pre-draft process, what was it like for you coming out of the SEC, but not coming from one of the well-known programs in the SEC?
It was kind of the same. I think the guys, a lot of teams looked at me like, no matter what, like I played against the same teams these guys was playing against. Even though we might not have as much talent, I think it was harder on myself. I think it was harder on myself compared to like some of the big name guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, Maurice Claiborne was elite. Like, he won the Jim Thorpe. He was dope. He was fire. But I think I go back and look at mine. He had more help on the defensive front.
And help means something.
So they got more pressure. I got my picks out of the mud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got 7 picks my senior year, 6 picks my junior year. And that was, you know, we still had some good players. Don't get me wrong. We had good players up front. We had good players at the linebacker. We had SEC guys on each level, like all SEC guys on each level. But, you know, you just go from the LSU to Georgia and things like that. I think. When I was at school at first, it was about depth. So our first guys, they can hang with anybody, but it was about the depth. You know what I mean? So that's what, you know, I think as a whole, I think as, you know, that program needs to get to just have more depth. But for me, it was more like people looked at me the same because I matched up with the guy. Mm-hmm. I followed Alshon Jeffries all game, wherever he went. I followed AJ Green, wherever he went in the game we played. Like I held my own. 2 picks, all that type of stuff. So I was able to hold my own against those guys.
Yes, sir. And because of that and the success, like I said, in Mobile during the Senior Bowl week, the Green Bay Packers decided to select you with their 2nd-round pick. And me and Casey have this in common as well. We were both the 62nd pick. So, Casey, for me, I remember almost every corner that was drafted before I was drafted. Do you remember all the corners that went before you?
I remember all of
them. Name them all.
Maurice Claiborne.
Yep.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
Yep. Kirk Patrick.
Two SEC guys, by the way.
It's gonna keep going. It's gonna keep getting more.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm here. Kirk Patrick. He went to Alabama. Jake Kirk Patrick. Then you got Janari Jenkins. Another Florida. SEC. Yeah, and then me.
Wow. So, you talk about all the guys you just named came from the SEC.
Oh, yeah. We you know how that goes. It's loaded.
Hey,
loaded in that.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, the year that you joined the Green Bay Packers. That was the year that Charles Woodson transitioned to safety. Even with that position switch, you know, what were you able to soak up from one of the best DBs to ever do it in the National Football League?
Man, one thing I will say about Wood was he wasn't one of those guys that, because he was a vet and, like, you know what I mean? He practiced every day. He was a vet. He's, you know, I guess. But the thing about it, I was only with Wood for that 1 year. Mm-hmm. I was with Wood for that 1 year. But I had Tremont Williams for my first 4 years.
Yeah.
Like my first three, I think. And Tremont showed me so much. I got to soak up so much because I was around him the most. Mm-hmm. Like he showed me how to study film. You know, he showed me on and off the field, you know, with his, you know, how he shows up every day, how he's a family man, all those different things. So I got to soak up a lot of fun. And I still keep in touch with him now. So, you know, he's his wing. And I also try to do the same thing to the young guys. I think you got to pass these things down, you know.
No question. And,
that's what I try to do. Yeah.
No question. I mean, that's what good teams do. Good teams has players that don't mind passing things down to guys they're competing with. Right. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of times when you're competing with someone, it creates separation. You don't want to share with them what you know because, you know, of course, they're trying to come get your job. But good teams have individuals who don't mind sharing the knowledge because at the end of the day, we all got to be good for everyone to be successful and win ball games. So, Case, early on in your Green Bay Packer days, you got a chance to see the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right? But currently, you know, we thought we were seeing a disconnect. Did you think they were headed to a breakup this offseason, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? And this is a two-part question. What did you think of the whole entire situation between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers?
I wasn't sure. You know, when I was playing with the Raiders last year, and even like, you know, the Chargers before, you know, everybody was like, he might come to the Broncos. In my head, I'm like, no, keep him over there. Keep him away from us.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole situation, it worked out. You know what I mean? It worked out in both favor. You know, A-Rod can finish his career at the Green Bay Packer, which he's going to go down as the best Packer of all time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And not just he up there with the best football players of all time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the top five football players of all time when he's done. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's the best quarterback.
So you're saying Aaron Rodgers right now is the best quarterback to ever do it?
I think so, personally. Okay. I think so, personally. You know, people can go with, you know, Tom. I'm a big Tom Brady fan, too. So, like, if people go Tom, I'd be like, okay, cool. You know, you go Tom or A-Rod, but I'm going to go A-Rod. That was my teammate. I seen some of the freakish things he did when we was at practice, and what he's still doing, like back to back MVPs, and so he's a great guy. I love A-Rod.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, you mentioned Tom Brady's name when it comes to one of the best to ever do it. You will be seeing him twice this year because y'all in the same division now.
Yeah, we got to see Tom.
You got to see him twice.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, you get the best out of yourself when you're going against the best. You know,
But I'm pretty sure you played against Tom before, right?
Yeah, and Tom torched us every time we played.
Oh, you gotta get some get back.
Man, I need some get back.
Yes, you gotta get some.
I wouldn't mind playing Tom twice, though. I'm happy about it.
No question.
If this is last year, I want to get a chance to get the ball. I have some opportunities with, you know, Godwin and Mike Evans, you know, out there. Those guys, you know, they got some really, you know, they loaded over there with talent. So
no,
we got to go out there and, you know, play really good on defense this year and try to minimize teams from scoring.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's take it back real quick. Your rookie year, second round draft pick, you go through your rookie contract. How did you use the Packers letting you walk after your rookie deal as motivation? Because it seemed like when they decided to cut ties, you went to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad about it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It made sense. They just had drafted a rookie first rounder the year before. and the second rounder back to back. So they were first round and second
round. They got Jair Alexander, and was it
No, so he was younger than me. He's way younger than me.
Yeah.
It was Damaris.
What did he get in the first round?
Damaris Randall.
Randall.
Damaris Randall and Quentin Rollins.
Okay.
So they had got two guys back to back. So it made sense. You know, you gotta try to play some of your first rounders and guys like that. And then that year I was kind of beat up. So I was just happy to get to a situation that fits me. And when I got there, when I got with the Chargers and Jay Verrett, Ben Flowers, so they had some really good guys already. You know what I mean? And when I got there, the coach was like, well, you know, be flow play inside. So you playing outside. We brought you here to play outside corner. So in my head, I'm like, bet. I'm happy. Like, you know what I mean? Y'all ain't just doing me as just playing inside guy. And I was able to flourish, you know, playing outside.
Yeah. And going out to San Diego at that time, you got a chance to team up with another outstanding quarterback in Phillip Rivers, who we just saw call it quits over a year ago, now coaching high school football. We know your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and how you feel about Aaron Rodgers, but when you look at Phillip Rivers, being out there and playing with him and seeing him day to day, do you think he is a Hall of Famer?
Facts. It's no question.
Yeah.
No question. No question. It's hands down. Now, you can't name 12 quarterbacks all time better than Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You might have some people that's more accomplished, like winning championships, but you know, winning championships, you know, that's a team game.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a whole team game. But when you talk about Hall of Fame, it's about individual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get some of those, you know, not taking anything away from the older quarterbacks, but they don't have the quite numbers as these guys these days, in which, you know, people gonna pass them. But Phil numbers as top 10 all around, longevity, he ain't missed games. He didn't miss games. So think about that. He got longevity. He got touchdowns. He got yards. He got everything.
Hey, before you got there, he played a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, with a torn ACL. I think they played against the Patriots.
Torn ACL.
Yeah, with a torn ACL.
And they were loaded that year. They had a chance to win that year. They were loaded. He just had a torn ACL.
At the wrong time.
Special, man. He's special.
One thing I can tell you about Phillip Rivers' show, anytime we played against him, he talked so much trash. Did he talk trash to y'all in practice?
Yeah, he talked, but he don't curse.
He don't curse at all. It's weird, right?
No.
He talks a lot of trash, but he don't curse.
He talked trash. Thing coming. He say the words that, you know, your grandma used to say back in the day. They
man, it's
you
like
say
hearing Phillip Rivers talk trash is like watching the PBS after school special. They're going to block all the bad words out.
Exactly.
They gonna block all of that.
He was a great teammate.
Yeah, I heard great things about him as well. I never heard, you know, guys that played with him say anything negative, especially when you talk about the quarterbacks. So you know how it is, show. Most of the times, the quarterbacks are the highest paid, and they're the face of the franchise. So some quarterbacks, you know, kind of be a little standoffish a little bit. You know, Phillip Rivers seemed to be a team guy, and that's the only thing I've heard about Phillip Rivers. Now, when you look at
man, great guy. He would even come in the back of the plane and play cards with him.
Oh yeah, he's getting the car game.
Yeah, car game, and he's super competitive with cards. So the same way he is on the football field, the same way playing cards. So imagine.
Wait a minute. So what kind of card game was y'all playing? Because I know what me and you be playing a lot. Was y'all in that Bure back then?
Oh yeah, we playing that boo.
Yeah, we playing the Phillip Rivers is a Bure player?
Yeah. Hey, look, we went to London. We went to London. I got a quick story. We went to London.
Yeah.
Played the Titans. Beat up on the Titans. We got a plane ride back to Cali. 10-hour flight. We all booed for 10 hours straight.
Oh man.
On the way back. Booed for 10 hours.
Who got hit and who won?
You know, people get hit across the head on that long flight.
10 hours straight? No sleep. And y'all booed the whole flight from London.
10 hours. We probably booed 8 hours of it. Yeah.
Did you walk away smiling? Were you kind of feeling a little disgruntled when y'all landed?
You see me smiling over here now? That's how I was smiling.
Hey, Joe. Well, and we talk about Bure all the time. I had DRC on, and of course, you know, DRC, yeah. Dominique, Roger Cromartie, Pat P play boo. Man, what has been the most intense Bure pot you've been a part of?
And that Boogie is scary. I've been in one. I can say the number on here?
Yeah, you can say the number.
I've been one, you know, that thing was like 30.
Were you in the game or did you drop your hand?
Man, you don't have no ace of the king. That's hard to stay in. Hey, I might have had a jack and a seven, boy. I can't get. Hey.
And that jack, and that seven show, you already know you hoping for a head up fight. Because if it's three or four in, oh boy, you get nervous. Your hands start to sweat.
What?
If it's three or four in, man, you like, boy, I should have got out of this.
I'm getting out, but a big pot. Come on, man.
But see, you know how I told y'all boys how we used to do it. We don't do one, two, three, drop.
Y'all go around.
The first person up, bro, are you in? Yes or no? So you don't get no indicator. So if you first and you got jack seven, you like, man, if I stay in and I got three people in with me, I'm boo.
Yes.
That's the thing about that one, two. When you go around, it put pressure on the first person. The first person got all the pressure. Because if you fold and it's a head up fight, you're going to be like, man, I had jack seven. Nobody isn't had, and I should have stayed in.
I should have stayed in, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But Phil was just that competitive playing cards. But, you know, for Phil, though, you know, he made so much money. It wasn't even about the money for him. It was about the, you know, the bonding. So,
yeah,
he did it for the bonding, yeah. And those years, we was winning. We had good teams, too. Like, though, we was just bonding in, and it was dope.
And that's the thing I like when, you know, you're playing together as teammates, as friends.
Oh, we're just trying to have fun. A-Rod too.
Wait a minute. Aaron Rodgers boo?
Come on.
No, Aaron Rodgers ain't booing.
All right.
I'm not believing that. A-Rod boo?
I didn't mean to put you out there, A-Rod.
Man, listen, show. And that's the type of players you want to play with because they money different. It's not a pot they don't like, show. You already know that. That pot could be about 10 bands out there. It might be like, I'm in.
Hey, and they pay.
No question. That's quarterback money.
Yeah. They ain't even asking for a deal, man. I got y'all tomorrow, man.
Oh, they ain't even asking for a deal?
Come on, ask for a deal.
That means you don't want one.
No, they ain't asking for no deal. But the thing about it is, the people be the ones winning.
Yeah, they got all the money and they win all the money.
Yeah.
Man, I got newfound respect for A-Rod and Phil Rivers. Them boys in the boo reggae, man.
Yeah, man, they be bonding, man. That's what I like about those guys.
Yeah.
They like stuck up. You know how people can judge them and don't really know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But these guys are some stand-up guys. They go in there and bond with us. And it be from the people that make a lot of money to the people that make, you know, that don't. You know what I mean? It's everybody. Mm-hmm.
Man, I love hearing that, man. That's what team is about. That's what quarterback's about. You got to be a leader. You got to be able to relate to everyone on the team, not just starters, exactly. But everyone who has a jersey. And speaking of another relatable guy, you know, your past season, this past year, you were there with Derek Carr in Las Vegas. You know, a lot of highs and lows throughout the year. Granted, made it to the playoffs. But, show, Casey, what was the most challenging part of 2021 with the Raiders?
Man, I'll probably just say, you know, we had just some bad situations going on. You know,
no question. Yeah.
Some unfortunate situations. Some good guys just had some unfortunate situations. You know what I mean? Like the coach thing, that was unfortunate. You know, the Russ thing was super unfortunate because he's a really good guy. You know what I mean? We just had some unfortunate things, but, you know, Coach did a good job when he got his chance to be the head coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coach Aang, the guys rallied around him. And then you look at DC, you know, people try to give DC a hard time, but he's a great leader. He rallied us and look what we did. We made it to the playoffs after all that adversity. You know what I mean? We started off flying around on a good note, and then the coach thing happened, lost two. Yeah. 1-2. Then the next thing happened. Then we lost some. Then we went on a winning spree to get us in the playoffs. And you know, winning starts in that quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with a quarterback. And DC did a great job. And DC did a great job of getting us in the right situation. And they got loaded over there.
Yeah. They got that thing right.
But that whole West over there don't got loaded.
Yes, sir. Hey, that's not a division. You don't want to make sure you all the way together. Because if you're not, you're going to get a black eye.
That's why they went and got Devontae. Why they was going to get a black eye.
No question. No question. What are your thoughts about what they're doing now? You know, the Raiders, granted, that's your former team, but you had an opportunity to be out there with the guys and you see what they're building. You know, how special, you know, can they be this year?
I think they can be special. It's, you know, I think, you know, you played in this league a long time. It's about being healthy.
No question.
You know, the guys that be winning at the end or that's in the playoffs and fighting, they be healthy. Mm-hmm. So if your team can stay healthy and you already got a good team,
yeah,
you know, that's what it's about. Your main guys staying healthy, being able to play 15, 16 games, 17 games, you know what I mean? Like, you get some of your best players only playing 2-3 games, it's going to be rough on you.
No question. And nowadays,
so if those guys can, yeah.
And think about, you know, the last two seasons, it wasn't just about injuries. You also had to dodge COVID.
Right, exactly. That was part of the health at that point.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, because COVID was messing players up. They'd be down for 2 weeks and not right for another 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I tell people this all the time. When it comes to winning a championship, it's not always the best team that wins. You got to be the luckiest team sometimes.
Man, yeah. You definitely got to be lucky.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, when the Giants won it, nobody thought they was going to win it. They were striding at the right time. And they already had a good defense.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, Show, one of the things I definitely want to talk to you about, and I know our fans definitely want to hear your opinion because you played in the ball game. Let's go to week 18, right? Everything's on the line. When basically you and your former team, the Chargers, playing against the Raiders on Sunday Night Football with the winner going to the playoffs. What were your thoughts on people suggesting that you guys should just tie so you can both get in?
Them people sound drunk. People sound
drunk. Tell us why.
Listen, it's a division game. It's a division game. You know how to listen. We don't want you in it.
In the division. And that was definitely personal for you because that was your former team.
Yeah. No tie. We are trying to win. We're kicking the field goal all day with no tying. It would have been a tie. We would have missed it, but we're not trying to tie. Like, you know, this game is already hard to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to win these games. And then, like, if you look at the matchups, like, don't get me wrong, nobody ain't scared of nobody to play because, you know, anything can happen any Sunday. But we win the game. We lose the game. We are 7th or 8th seed. We the last seed to get in. And they before us if it's a tie. So we go to Kansas City. They go to Cincinnati.
Exactly. Exactly. And, of course, you want to go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, we like our matchup with Cincinnati. Yeah. And it will end up being a good game. They just end up beating us.
Yeah.
But – matchup wise, we like the Cincinnati, even though they beat us. But no, man, if you can kick these guys out, get them out of here. Get them out.
The thing you got to understand too, for the fans that were saying the game should have ended in a tie. Let's say that happens when you had an opportunity to kick them out. Let's say the unthinkable happens. Both of you get in, y'all get knocked out, and they get to the Super Bowl.
Come on, listen.
Think about that. Think about how pissed off you would have been.
It's possible.
These boys' season.
It's possible. They had a good team.
Hands down.
They had a really good team. No. Get these boys out of here.
Got them out of there.
Get them out of here. They got a chance to win, just like we got a chance to win. No tie. And then they beat us early in the year.
And you know it's always about get back in the divisional game. It's always about get back.
Yeah. Look, I hate it had to be them. That's what it was. I hate it had to be y'all.
Yeah,
like I'm a Charger. I'm a Charger for life, but I'm playing on the other team. We getting y'all out of here.
No question. And you did what you're supposed to do. And speaking of Chargers, what are your thoughts of Brandon Staley, the new coach, well, first year coach for the Chargers, his aggressive style on fourth down? Because you remember that game, that Sunday night game, I think he went for it on fourth down like four times.
More.
It was more than that?
Yes, we had him in fourth and down so many times to win the game.
So let me ask you. Let me hit you with this question like this. Let's say hypothetically speaking, Staley was there while you was there, and as a defender, I understand. You know, we all feel like, man, we can do what we need to do to keep us in reach of winning this ball game. But how would you have felt playing defense for the Chargers and seeing your head coach attacking the game like it's a video game and kind of putting the defense in bad situations? Because remember, he went for it early in that ball game.
Oh yeah, we stopped them back there.
Like, yeah, they were backed up. Y'all was instantly in field goal range.
Yeah.
So how would you have felt if you were a part of the Chargers defensively and seeing your coach just call the game like he's playing Madden?
Man, you got to be behind it. You got to be behind it. Whatever decision you make, we with it. And guess what? When they stopped us, when we stopped them, they held us to a field goal. And that's what you got to have. You got to have your coach back like that.
So show.
It's going to work with you, then it's going to work against you.
So show, you mean to tell me it wouldn't be a time when the sideline would be like, man, you look.
I'm hot. Bad. I'm mad. I'm mad.
Man, coach tripping, man. What are you doing? Punt the ball. Sure. What for you sure. doing? Man, punt the ball. You're not going to say it loud, but you know we be on the sideline next to the next DB, your fellow DB. Like, hey, man, this man tripping, man. We backed up. Give us some grounds. No, give us some grounds to fight for.
I'm going
to
tell my buddy. Like, boy, coach tripping. But, you know, once he tripped, we got to have him back.
Hey, no question. No question. Let's go, man. Just because they're down, they don't really got to score.
Yeah, it been times like that. Your coach was tripping.
You know them conversations on the bench, man. You be like, man.
Because, you know, we counting points at the end of the game. Like, man, we gave up X, Y, Z. But it really should have been. You know what I mean?
Yes,
you
sir.
Tell me, like, no, we take 6 points off. They get 17 instead of 24. You know what I mean? Instead of 23.
No question. You already know when it comes to us playing defense, we want to win ball games, but we want to make sure defensively we got our stats in check too.
Come on. We want to win. We want to look right.
No question. So, hey, Casey, let's transition to your newest team, hometown team, Atlanta Falcons. Man, what led to you signing with your hometown team in Atlanta?
Man, in my head, I talked to my family, talked to my agent. And it just all made sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. It made sense, the transition, what I'm trying to do, you know, outside of football and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just made sense to be closer to home. I'm building a house out here. So while that's going on, I can still be home and still, like, you know, checking on that. And then, you know, towards the end of my career, my family's here.
Yeah.
You know, I always played far enough with my family. Really couldn't get there unless maybe, like, one or two games out of the season. They might fly out there to a game and find a place that I'm playing close to home over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be two games out of the year that they come to. Now everything's pretty close. They can come, you know, to pretty much all the games. You know, I'm gonna have to, you know, cap them off on tickets.
No question, because that ticket request is gonna be much more intense.
Come on, I'm gonna tell them folks, like, hey, look, you pick two games. You pick two games. I got a big family now. I got my dad, it's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of them. So, yeah.
Man, but I tell you this much, that was a big time move. We had AJ Terrell on during the season. He's one of the corners I love watching. He had a heck of a year this past year for Atlanta. His confidence is going through the roof. And then you come into the equation, you know what I mean? He's still an up and coming corner, but the knowledge you've been able to learn throughout the past years of your career and the technique and the fundamentals, man, I love it for Atlanta because you got two bookend corners, and playing against Tampa twice a year, you're going to need that. You know what I mean? Of course, Michael Thomas coming back into the fold, that was a huge signing for Atlanta, and I like what they were doing defensively. When you look at signing with the Falcons, right, show, what was your thought process when you signed with the Falcons and then you started to hear rumors about Deshaun Watson? You know what I mean? Potentially getting Deshaun Watson, another, you know, in-state product from the state of Georgia, and then going from Deshaun Watson to trading Matt Ryan. What was your thought process through those situations?
Man, I was excited to be here. Like what I was saying earlier about, I think throughout my career playing, I always felt like I was the best corner on the team, and not just because of the field. This is like, this how I felt like I really was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this time, like, playing with him, like, dang, it's just somebody just as good on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, dang, this boy, he's really legit. You know, AJ, really legit. So I'm happy and excited to play with him, you know, give him some of my knowledge and also take some of the things he know. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those guys that feel like I know everything. You know what I mean? So it's going to be exciting to do that. But, you know, with the whole Deshaun thing, man. We was hoping we got him.
Oh, you know, the whole Atlanta was. Everybody was, right?
Oh, man, people were sick. We was hoping we got him. But at the same time, you know, it's a business.
Yeah.
This ain't a business. This ain't a – hey, I know I'm from here, but you know, long if the business right, then yeah. But if the business ain't right, I gotta go with the business right.
No question.
You know, 230. That's 230. All guaranteed. You know what that is, right?
No question.
That's a max deal.
Max
me out.
Exactly. And ain't too many teams can do that. Not too many teams willing to do that.
Max me out. That's NBA max.
Yes.
KD just signed that deal.
Yes.
KD just signed that same deal.
Exactly. He got an NBA contract all guaranteed.
Come on, man. I'm going to get that.
Hey, but sure that tells you how desperate the Browns was, because remember, he told Browns, I'm good.
Yeah.
Then at 230 made him change his mind.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. You know, we got the same people. You know what I mean? We got the same people. And I actually was with him like 2 days before it happened. You know what I mean? I think he always wanted to go to the Browns because their roster was structured like in a way that you can win now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think you can see that, like the roster structure where you can win now. Good running game, good O-line, good defense, things like that. So, you know, him coming home would have been, you know, great for him. It would have been great. You know, I think it was really close to being, but, you know, it made sense. It made sense to go the way he went. I'm salute him. You know, I wish him the best of luck. I know he's going to go out there and ball because that's the type of player he is. He's one of those generational players.
No, no question, no question. So now when you look at not getting Deshaun Watson, trading away arguably the best quarterback in franchise history, Matt Ryan, to signing Marcus Mariota. And you spent last season with Marcus in Las Vegas. What can he offer Atlanta, the team?
Man, stability. You know, Coach Arthur and him went back to the Titans. That's when he was balling, when he was there with, you know, Coach Arthur. So they know each other.
Exactly.
They know each other. They know each other's strengths and things like that. So I'm excited. I was with him, you know, last year, and he can make all the throws. He's still athletic. So I think we got a good chance. We got to go and get some weapons for him. But, you know, I think we still got a chance. And, you know, as a defensive guy, you tell the guys, like, hey, we keep these people 17 and under, we got a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our job. Let's go and make it easier on the offense. Let's get turnovers and things like that. Let's get turnovers and give these guys a chance to get the ball back.
No doubt, no doubt. Last question before we transition to the superlative part of this show. I know you mentioned you were with Deshaun a few days before he signed that huge deal or agreed to go to Cleveland. But did he ever throw out any indications that he wanted to come home to Atlanta? Like, if he didn't go to Cleveland, do you believe it would have been Atlanta that he signed with?
I think so. It's nothing like playing at the crib.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nothing like playing the crib, but it's also distractions at the crib. You know what I mean? You got family, you got all, you know, all the different things. But I think it definitely was a situation where he was really considering it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like I was just saying, it's about business. It ain't really about nothing else. You know, people can be mad at the crib all they want to, but you can ask somebody that's here, that's in Atlanta, they offer you 230 to go.
You're gonna get that 230.
They can. I don't care what they tell you, you're going to get the 230 from. You're going.
It could be in Alaska. Huh? You're going.
Look, they say, oh, Atlanta offer you 200 or Atlanta offer you 150, but Alaska offer you 230.
You're going to Alaska.
You're going to get the 230. Like, no matter how people look at it, man, you know, this thing is not NFL, not for long. So while you're in it, you need to set up your future and your people's future and your
hands
kids.
Down. I definitely agree with you. So, hey, show, before we let you go, superlative part of our show, we're going to hit you with rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. All right.
Can I say something before that too, though?
What you got?
All right. So Pat P, I forgot which year it was. Year six. He said, hey, I'm get your jersey when we play y'all this year. He said, hey, let me get that jersey when we play y'all this year. This one, he's still with AZ. He said, let me get that jersey when we play y'all this shit. Man, we get to play them boys. After the game, I'm like, Pat P, what up, my boy? He said, man, I'm going to have to get it to you another time. This one, we smoked them. We beat them. He like, man, I can't trade my jersey after we just, you know.
Oh, y'all boys beat them too bad?
Yeah, man. I'm like, my boy. He's going to tell me we need to switch and then Remy going to feel me like, Hey, my boy, I know you're gonna watch it. I need my jersey. That's all.
You need that jersey. I'm gonna make sure.
I don't want the Vikings. I want AZ.
You want that AZ, that 21.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm definitely gonna let them know that. Hey, but you know what though? You know how it is sometimes. If you get beat too bad.
Oh, look, I've done that before. Like, hey, my boy, I think we need to hurry up and get inside.
Hey, so you know, at the horrible loss, man, I ain't shaking no hands, I ain't taking no pictures. I'm out of here.
I'm gone. Yeah, I'm with him. This is just a reminder that I need that.
No
yeah.
question. I definitely pass that message along. We're gonna get that 21 to you. I got the 21 over there, and I got the 7 right here.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, what number you gonna wear for Atlanta? You know yet?
I ain't even decided.
You ain't decided? Okay. Mm-mm. Well, you gonna? I know one thing. You're not gonna get a number in the 40s, are you?
Come on, now. It gotta be in the 20s. Gotta be in the
20s. Yo, hey, man, I told DRC that 45, man, but DRC had a sentimental reason to wear 45. Like, you out there,
right,
that 45.
Right. He do, yeah.
Like, bro, hey, come on, but I understand that's near and dear to your heart, but come on, you can't be in the secondary with 40s all.
That 45 stank.
No question. Super stank. Hey, so quick questions for you, superlative part. And throughout your professional career, Casey, you play with some outstanding quarterbacks, right? So we're going to do start, sit, cut. You got to pick one to start, you got to pick one to sit, and you got to cut one. Your options are Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr. Who you going to start, who you going to sit, and who you cutting, and who just not going to make the list? Who you going to start, who you going to sit, who going to get cut, and who just ain't even going to make the list?
The sitting is my... He the backup?
Huh?
The sit. If I sit, he gonna be my backup.
Yeah, the sit, the one who you sit is like the backup. Whoever you cut gonna get cut, and the other one just ain't gonna even make the final roster to get cut.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna go with the GOAT. I'm gonna go A-Rod.
Aaron Rodgers. You gonna start him. Who gonna be the backup?
Phil, you come on.
Phil the backup. Who you gonna cut?
So the cut mean he was almost there. I'm gonna go DC. I'm going DC, and then Herb, you know, he young.
Okay.
Hey, you asked me 10 years from now, Herb might be
that guy.
But yeah, you know, no offense to nobody, but you know, I'm gonna go A-Rod. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. So growing up watching football, who was your favorite defensive back to watch?
Oh, I got two. Champ Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, Sam Bailey, and for me, Asante Samuels.
Yeah, Zant was good.
Yeah. He was that guy. Like, they need to quit playing with my man. Get him up in that thing.
Get him in the hall. Got 60 plus interceptions or something Come like on, that. Man. Crazy number.
He got 50 in 10 years.
Yeah. He used to tell Eli Manning up. Anytime he played against Eli, boy, he was picking up Eli.
Sixes and stuff, yeah.
No question. Yeah. All off technique, too.
Come on, man. No, put that man in that fame, man. He deserves it. 10 years, 50? Come on.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Next question for you. Best DB you played with?
Best DB I played with? Shoot. Wood. C-Wood.
Okay.
C-Wood. But I played with, since I only played with him a year, I'm gonna go with somebody else too. But he was the best DB.
Who
like, I'm Tremont Williams. He did it for a high level for a while. And then I will tell people this. If Jason Verrett never got hurt.
Oh, from TCU?
Come on. Hey, if he never got hurt. Hey, I seen that man do some of the most freakish things you can do on the football field.
Man.
Like, he was probably the most talented DB I ever played with or ever really seen. Yes.
Yeah, because he were out there when he came to San Diego.
Yes, I'm telling you. Freakish.
He had it.
Freakish.
Wow. From TCU. Yeah, TCU, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
first TCU. Rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this game, but he just never could stay healthy. That was the one thing. Yeah. Couldn't stay healthy. Last question for you. Best interception of your career?
Best interception of my career? Oh, I'm going to go against the Colts. And it wasn't like a spectacular or nothing like that, but it was against the Colts. We playing this one, Reggie Wayne.
Uh-huh.
Reggie Wayne, this might have been his last year. He went for like 1,100 or something like that. Reggie Wayne is killing us. He won the game. They beat us. They beat us. Reggie Wayne killed us. He probably had about 13 catches. I'm telling you. He was killing everybody. Me, him, this dude over here.
Yeah.
But I'm lining up on him in the slot. And this dude go out. He run a wheel route. Mm-hmm. And I kind of match this with Andrew Luck. And I turn my head on the wheel route and pick me. Like right out of the air. I think that might have been my first interception, too.
Uh-huh.
So that might have been my first career.
Which y'all was in? Y'all was in man?
Yeah, it was in man.
Okay.
That might have been my first career pick and against Reggie Wayne. What?
No question. Hall of Famer?
Come on. Yeah.
We'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Reggie remember that, too.
Oh, man. Reggie one of the top route runners.
Oh, ever. Come on.
Man. Yeah. He's one of those guys, for me, I hated playing against wide receivers who didn't look like they were fast, but they would get on your toes so fast.
Him.
Them the ones I didn't like.
Man, Reggie, he put so much stuff at that top of that route. He be like, oh.
Before Reggie, you know you're on your heels, you're like, uh-oh.
I'm trying to tell you.
That's when you're trying to go grab something.
If you ever look up, that game, that man had about 12, 13 catches on the for like 140. I'm telling you. And a tub.
Reggie Wayne, one of the best to do it. He will eventually hear his name called in Canton, Ohio. Man, outstanding feedback coming from our very own Casey Haywood. Now, newly signed Atlanta Falcon cornerback. Man, big things coming from Atlanta. Of course, you added Marcus Mariota. Got some other moves coming in the storefront. But Casey, man, thank you for joining us. And don't forget about me. I already told Pat P as well. Next Blu-ray game.
Hey, I ain't forgot it.
I never got a check from Arthur Blank, so I got to try to boo you for yours.
Hey, I ain't got mine
check.
Yet.
Your check too big.
I ain't got it yet. It's coming in.
It's like a tax return. You know it's coming for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's coming for sure.
Y'all are invited. Y'all are invited to the crib.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, and then when the new house ready, we coming to the new house and boo you in your own new house.
Come on. Tell Pat P we could boo him in his new house. I know he got one down there.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to get that jersey, that 21 for you, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir. But appreciate it, Case, man. Stay healthy, man. And no rare. I'm going to see you soon. I'm booing you. Staying with that all Jack 7. I'm going to boo you.
Come on. I'm staying with it every time.
All right. Be safe, show. Thank you.
All right, man. For sure. Yep.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.